Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to the 484th episode of the Sales Podcast. I'm Wes Schaefer, the Sales Whisperer, your host. Today, you're in for a treat. I am heading out to Tampa Bay for my annual swim, the Tampa Bay Frogman Swim, to benefit the Navy SEAL Foundation. You can donate at helpwesswim.org. But I was going to do a little book review. And just running out of time. I've got a busy week, landed a nice new client, helping a couple of other clients with their scripts, their training, their sales presentations, been doing some writing, and just ran out of time for what I wanted to do, to do it right, especially with everything going on with the election and the Capitol Hill and everything, right? I've been pondering some things, so I've been debating whether to do a book review, a little pontification, a little bit of both. So, but I ran out of time. So, I had Paul Ross on this week, actually, just 2 days ago. So, this is super fresh. A lot of times, I'm maybe 3 to 6 weeks out before these go live. But I'm compressing the time this year. So, I'll be publishing these episodes much closer to the actual time I interview him. But Paul was going to come out a month from now, so February 15th, but now, or February 13th, but now we're getting this out so on January 15th. And Paul, we get into it a little bit. I learned of him through a book I was reading years ago, on dating. There's this whole pickup artist world. And I remember I did some research and I don't even know, 8 years ago probably. And I was doing a research to do a blog post and I had Googled best sales books. And I find multiple blogs with, you know, their reviews. And, you know, I'm patting myself on the back. Oh yeah, I've got these, I got those. Yep, read those, blah, blah, blah. There's this one book that I hadn't heard of, and I look it up, and it was a book on dating. And I remember I tell my wife, like, hey, I'm ordering this book, and it really is for research purposes. And it was just, I mean, sales equals dating. I've got a slide I always use. It's in my book. I do it in live training all the time. Talking about the stages and it's picking up women, for lack of a better term, pick up, you know, meeting. I mean, I met my wife at a bar, at a country bar, San Bernardino, 1994. And the steps that you go through, how do you prepare? You know, how do you ask her to dance? How do you conduct yourself? When do you ask for her number? When do you call? All of those are little steps. Those are little sales that have to be made. And so it was phenomenal, but that's how I first heard of Paul. And he had a pseudonym that he used in that. And again, we talk about it a little bit, but he's got a PR firm and they reached out to me and I was thrilled to talk to him. And it's an excellent episode. The verbiage he gives, because he does sales training now for many, many years. So he got out of that pickup artist world. But the phrases, the pacing. So pay attention to this because it's some good stuff. Okay. Don't judge an interview by its intro. You know, you can learn from everyone. Okay. If you are single and looking to date, you'll get advice on this, you know, a little bit. But, you know, great salespeople have great empathy. Great salespeople can connect. Great salespeople can read the room. Great salespeople can read the body language. You put yourself in position to win. You understand the potential obstacles, the roadblocks, the objections, and you negate them before they even pop up, right? I don't want to fight them. I don't want to overcome objections. I want to eliminate them. I want to address them before they even come up. Okay, and that's dating, right? We're all in sales all the time. So admit it, get used to it, welcome it, embrace it, and your life will be mo better, okay? If you want to apply what we learn, if you want to dig deeper, if you want some accountability, check out theimplementors.com. Get the on-demand course, makeeverysale.com. That's all the videos and the workbook and the on-demand course. Okay. If you just want to talk about things, have me help you and your team, then hit me up at the website and we will talk, see if there's a fit. Okay. So now let's bring on Paul. Paul Ross, the man, the myth, the legend, author of Subtle Words That Sell with his cats. This may be a first. The cats in the interview, all the way from San Diego. Welcome to the Sales Podcast. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great. My supervisors are here this morning. This is my big girl, Pernilla Jones. Pernilla. My little baby cat, NECA, is on downstairs on the lower level of the cat tree. She'll jump up at some point and cause some trouble, but they help me out. Oh, here comes NECA. If they get to be too big of a trouble, I'll lock them out, but they like to howl. No, here's my big girl, Pernilla. Pernilla, honey.
Hey, look. Anyone with cats and names like that, you're either totally crazy,
yep,
or totally confident, or yep, both. So yep, either way, this is going to be a good interview.
Try both. And can I curse a little bit on your show?
Sure.
Some people think I'm batshit crazy, but I just take that as meaning my ideas can be so original and so outside the box and things that are not. This is not stuff you can grab from off the shelf.
Yeah.
And it's not just little incremental tips on how you can do better. This right. is a revolutionary new way of looking at the whole meaning of what selling is.
Right.
And also I'm going to take you today, not outside of your comfort zone, but outside of your conceptual zone. I'm going to change the entire way you think about selling and do it in 30 to 45 minutes. That's a pretty tall claim. But I'm a damn good teacher and a really good interview. All right. Give me a minute because she's being a pain in the ass. Can we stop recording?
Yeah, I'll pause it.
Stop the recording.
So you just proved that dogs have owners and cats have servants. Man, servants. You know, there was the show, The Dog Whisperer, right? Which is how I got
remember
the sales whisperer. But I've yet to see a cat whisperer. So even the mighty Paul Ross is not a cat whisperer. So at least
that's why I keep them around to remind me to keep my ego in check.
So you've done a lot of stuff, author, speaker, trainer, master hypnotist, NLP master practitioner. But what's your sales background? Why the hell should we even listen to you? Who named you such a sales stud, 30 to 45 minutes, best interview ever, out of my conceptual zone? Come on, man. Come on. Let's go. Them's fighting words.
Well, I love it, man. I'm already engaged with you, and that's great. See, my background is not from traditional selling, although that's not true. I started selling when I was 9 years old. I sold candy bars to raise money for the school.
I took a different approach.
Well, I took a different approach. My mother, when I was very young, sat me on her knee and said, son, most people are stupid. If they're doing one thing, you figure out something completely different to do. And I took her advice to heart. So when I was 9 years old, they gave us the candy bars and said, just knock on the doors and say, would you like to buy a candy bar? And my mom said, that sucks. Come up with something different that totally shocks people. And then you'll get their attention long enough to sell them. And I listened to my mom. She was a great influence on me. So I would knock on the door. They'd answer the door. I said, hi, I'm here to sell you something, which is a shock. People aren't expecting. Then I'd hold up the candy bar and say, it tastes great. And you'll feel good while you eat it because you know you're helping out the entire neighborhood and the school. Now that got their attention big time. I nailed them down with consistency and with commitment all in the space of one sentence. So I started selling. I've sold millions of dollars of my own courses online. And more importantly, I sold lonely 30, 40-year-old virgin men on the notion that they could actually get past their fear, get past their depression, their shame, and learn how to date. Because ultimately, a sale is a date, and a date is a sale. Think about it. You've got to do your prospect outreach. You've got to create rapport. You've got to do your qualifying questions. You've got to structure your sales presentation. You've got to go for the close, and then you have to handle objections. So essentially, they're the same. What happened is, in the course of that career, I would have guys sending me emails with pictures of their wives and their kids, and they'd say, you know, I've read all your stuff. I've got all your video courses and such. I haven't even been to your seminars. Thank you very much. I found the ideal girlfriend, or I've got married, or whatever it is. And I've been using your stuff for selling, and it really works. And this is about 15 years ago. And I thought, well, damn, that's interesting. I've been doing it myself anyway, but not with a structure to it. I just did it instinctively because I know hypnotic language. I know neurolinguistic programming. So I thought, let's get into my laboratory and start testing this. And I began to test it. And I came up with various versions of my initial course on selling. And then I started coaching people and training people and using it myself. And that's the basic background. So I hope that answers your question, but I love that question. Who the hell am I, and why the F should people listen to me?
Well, I want to go back to just your opening line selling candy bars, because one of the scripts that I teach people in sales training, because prospecting is, it's hard for most people, right? And, and cold calling, and in today's day and age, you really shouldn't have to make a purely cold call, right? There, you can do 3 minutes of research and have an icebreaker with anybody. But I would tell them just to get started, right? Look, pick up the phone and say, "Hey, Paul, this is a sales call. You know, Paul, this is a cold call. May I take 20 seconds of your time, tell you why I'm calling, then you decide if we ever speak again."
Exactly. Honest, and it's complete what I call pattern interrupt. And hopefully we'll get around to discussing pattern interrupts later on as you continue to learn from me in this fascinating interview. And but what you did there is a pattern interrupt. You did something completely different from what they were expecting, the pattern that everyone else was throwing at them. And you got their attention very quickly and created rapport by treating them with enough respect to be honest with them. So good for you. By the way, if I can interject,
sure.
I don't believe there is such a thing as a cold call. I teach my clients, you're never doing cold calling. You're doing opportunity outreach. Now, that may seem like a little bit of a joke, but in reality, that little semantic twist is powerful. Because when you say, I'm going to make a cold call, is there literally a sheet of ice between you and that potential client? Is your hand really freezing? It's a terrible metaphor. Metaphors create a canopy of consciousness under which all our other thinking, all the other beliefs and ideas and behaviors are structured. But if I say a cold call, who does that imply has the value in the interaction? Prospect. It implies the prospect. But if I say this is my opportunity outreach, who does that imply has the value?
Yeah.
So you're not begging for change.
Right.
You're creating opportunity frames. And that reframe will really, now what if you added in an adjective? What about if you said, it's time to joyously make my fun opportunity outreaches, or it's time to powerfully make my joyous opportunity outreaches. At first you may think that sounds strange, but remember I told you, I'm going to take you outside of your conceptual zone and show you a different way to think. So adverbs and adjectives, you think, wait a minute, this is what I had to do in grammar school, outline sentences, circle the subject, the object. I can make a confession to you, Wes, that stuff used to give me a little baby, that stuff used to arouse me. I loved grammar, but grammar and language is powerful. Words are powerful.
Yep. Amen. I grew up in Louisiana originally, and English wasn't elective, but I still got through it. Here we are.
Dude, you'd be fun to hang out with. We were talking talking before the show started how you headed up the Air Force UFO secret project department.
Oh, now I have to delete that, man. God, yeah. Oh, my goodness. You're make all this work for me, all this editing. And, you know, I love, you know, what you're saying there, because it's a small change, but I always say small hinges swing big doors, you know. And,
oh, I love that. I'm going to steal that.
Sure. I didn't make it up. But it's, I tell my clients, right, when, you know, let's say you and I are talking and you do give me a couple minutes or say, you know what, hey, I'm busy right now, you know, give me a call later. And most people just accept that and then just put follow up, you know, Paul Ross, you know, Friday, 10 a.m. follow up. But I'm like, take an extra second and go, hey, I understand. No problem. When would be better for you? You know, later this week or early next week? You know, later this week, Thursday, Friday. Yeah, make it Friday, morning or afternoon. You know, afternoon, like right after lunch, a little bit later. I'm in all day. So like 1 o'clock, yeah, 1 o'clock's fine. Okay, thanks. Hey, have a great day. Boom. We hang up and I'm going to send you an email. All right. Hey, thanks for your time. I look forward to catching up with you at 1 o'clock. All right. So when I call at one, because one of my taglines I always use is that life is too short for follow-up calls.
Oh, damn straight.
You know, but everybody says the money is in the follow-up. But, and some will say this is semantics, but when I call at 1 o'clock and your assistant says, is he expecting your call? And I say, yes, I'm calling for our 1 o'clock appointment. To me, that's not a follow-up call. Now, it may have been a brush off, right? You may have just fully intended just to get me off the phone, move on to the next thing, didn't think I would follow through with it. But in my mind, you set an appointment with me. And you know deep down, even if you kind of forgot way back in your brain, you know, oh, hell, I did say something. Oh, I did get that email. All right. And you probably aren't ready. I get sent to your voicemail. But now I start to have that, the moral authority, right? That moral framework. You still may not do business with me, but I'm slowly going to chip away at that. So
can I offer a completely radically different way to handle that?
Sure.
So my belief is that when prospects object or throw out objections, it's usually autopilot and they really don't know why they're objecting.
Sure.
So I would say something like, I understand what you're saying. You know, I understand completely what you're saying. And I do have to, however, say it's like something I said to a client the other day. Why would I delay your opportunity to learn more about something you could really benefit from? Why would I delay your opportunity to learn about something you could really benefit from? Doesn't it make just a little more sense to spend just a minute to talk about it right here and now? Now, they may tell you F off, or they may think, well, wait a minute, this guy's not buying into my normal stall. Okay, give me a hearing. Half the time they're going to tell you to F off, but the other half of the time they'll give you the here and now. And I believe a sale delayed usually is a sale denied. I know they say you have to make 7 contact touches before you get a sale. Nowadays, you don't have that kind of time because people have wait. That may have worked back in the 70s and the 80s and even the 90s. But here we are with so many distractions. Your number one enemy to a sale is not your competition. It's this thing. Because this is the device through which we get our Twitter, our Instagram, our Facebook instant messages, our texts, blah, 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 blah. So I don't think you have the opportunity nowadays to make 7 touches. You've got to figure out a way to see if you can get them continuing to talk to you. If you can.
Yeah. How do you view all the other modes of communication? Because I tell people the same thing, you know, multimedia, multi-step. It's like dating. You know, you don't just stalk her. Right. Maybe, you know, obviously if there's some rapport, maybe you know, the cute barista at Starbucks, you know, you take your receipt, you turn it over and you write a little note and hand it back to her where you say,
oh,
hi.
I would never do that. I would never do that.
Well, I'm just throwing out analogies, but, you, once there's some rapport, you know, one another, maybe you leave a little note, stick it in her windshield. Maybe, you know, at school, you know, prom, you know, prom's coming up, you know, she likes flowers, you get a flower, you know, she likes chocolate, you get the chocolate, you stop by her house and you bring her something, right? But it's a multimedia, multi-step. So from a dating standpoint, you, by spending time, you show your interest. But the same thing in sales. If I can find you on LinkedIn, I'll connect with you on LinkedIn. Right. I'll follow you on
Twitter.
Right,
that's fine. I have no problem with that. Your dating advice sucks, but.
Well, yeah. I've been out of practice.
Yeah, well, good. No, I agree with that. I simply think if you use the analogy of dating and meeting someone, you don't have time to get to know people anymore. I'm not saying, I don't want to get into the controversy of how quickly you should get intimate, but you don't have the time you used to have. People are too distracted. They're running in place. They're racing as hard as they can just to stay in place, particularly nowadays with the epidemic. So you need to get attention right away. My typical line is to say, can I ask you a question? Do you do some kind of spiritual discipline? And let them answer. I'll say, because you just seem like someone who really knows who they are and who is in love with life. It's a very rare combination. Now, that is such a rare compliment. They've never heard that before. So that's bought me. That little 30 seconds has bought me the next 5 minutes. And the next 5 minutes buys me the next 10. And the next 10 buys me the next 20. And now I'm way ahead of the game as opposed to 2 dates or 3 dates or 4 dates. But now we're straying into my dating coaching, which I really don't want to do. Yeah. The major point, the analogy between dating and sales and the rest of it is the world has changed. The world has been tilted on its axis and turned inside out. People don't have the attention span they used to have, even if they are interested in your product or would be interested in your product. They're just too distracted to pay attention. People have the attention span of a goldfish. They're overwhelmed. They're overstimulated. They're dumbed down and numbed out, but they're also paradoxically more sophisticated. I want to talk about that paradox. They're both dumbed down because of all the media, but they're also sophisticated because they get so many sales pitches. They know the old cliches. They're coming at them. They can see them from a mile away. The tag questions, you find, isn't it important that you invest in yourself, Mr. Smith? Don't you agree? Yes. The yes ladders, they've seen it all. And so they just sneer at it and feel insulted. So you've got to do something radically different.
So what is radically different today? Because you say, but they are more distracted. They are dumbed down. They are overstimulated. They are overextended. They are overwhelmed. They are tired. They are, you know, they're Red Bull and double espressos to wake up, you know, marijuana and alcohol to go to sleep. I mean, on and on and on, you know, but at their core, I mean, we're still humans. Once you get someone's attention, like that's a great thing. I mean, ask your question. You seem like you got your act together, blah, blah, blah. Once you do break through and have their attention, aren't people still at their core? They're yearning for that differentiation, to be yes. noticed, to have an yes. honest and open conversation.
Yes. Yes. And don't assume they're ready to have that with you. Sure. Let me give you this is radically different. There's a question that every salesperson should ask themselves before they go into any sales presentation, which is what state of mind, what state of consciousness do you want that prospect to be in so they receive your message through it? Let me give you a metaphor to clear this up a little bit. And this is not a trick question. This is for a real question. Let's say we have a current of electricity and we have a sheet of gold foil and we have a sheet of cardboard and we want to conduct that current of electricity. Which of those two is going to conduct the electricity, the gold foil or the cardboard?
Yeah, gold.
Gold, exactly. So think of your electricity as being your sales pitch, what you want to sell, and the foil as being the state of mind of the prospect. So how are we going to make that prospect conductive so they receive the electricity of our sales pitch? How do we create those different sales states of mind? What states of mind do we want to create? How about a state of being focused on us? How about a state of wanting to believe in what we have to say? How about a state of, on the unconscious level, buying into the notion that we are actually leading them and that they are our willing, eager followers? How about a state of being open to new possibilities? So I view selling as being, yes, you can have your standard sales process, and nothing I'm teaching today is designed to replace your standard sales process. It's designed to be overlaid, to be injected, to be interjected in it, to turbocharge it. So how can we create those states? How can we create the state in the prospect's mind before we even really get going, where they want to believe in us, where they want to follow us, where they feel like we already have a connection? And there's a way to do it that I'd like to share.
If I'm all ears. Okay. Taking notes.
Okay. So I talk about what I call implied relationship words. Let me give you a couple of rules before we go any further. Rule number one, you're never selling a product or service. You're always selling decisions and good feelings about decisions. You can think of yourself as a decision service technician. And nowadays, people don't know how to trust their ability to make good decisions. So it's not enough to get them to trust you. You have to get them to trust themselves. That's rule number one. Rule number two, whatever you can get your prospect to imagine for themselves will be perceived by them as being their own thought, and therefore they will not resist it. So capture and lead their imagination and their subconscious thought process first. Those are the two rules that I want to lay out. So here's how we create that state of feeling like they already have a relationship with you. They want to follow you. You use these words. We together explore, invite, and share. We explore together, invite, and share. It sounds something like this. Before we explore this marketing plan together today, I just want to invite you to please share the questions that naturally arise when a great decision is being made. Now let's talk about that. Before we explore, what does we imply? When I use the word we, what does it imply? That we're
doing this
on the
together.
Same.
Yeah.
Before we explore, what does explore imply? Again, it's a shared activity. And for every exploration, there must be a leader. And every leader implies a what?
Follower.
Exactly. Before we explore this marketing plan or this opportunity together, there again, we have the word together. That's obviously implies relationship. Before we explore this marketing plan together today, I just want to invite you, not ask you, but invite you. Invitation has a different implied meaning than ask. I just want to invite you to please share the questions, not ask the questions, but share the questions. Do we share with people who we don't really trust?
Nope.
I just want to invite you to please share the questions that naturally arise when a great decision's being made. Now, did I say a great decision to buy from me today is being made?
Nope.
Why didn't I say a great decision to buy from me today is being made? It's just too direct. It's too pushy. But when I leave it vague, then they'll fill in the blank for themselves. A great decision is being made. And the unconscious mind says, oh, a great decision is being made. I feel like I want to follow this person based on the previous suggestions. Therefore, I'm going to decide to go with this person. This mm-hmm. is all being implied on the subconscious level before you even get into the substance of what it is you're selling. Does that make sense? Now, I know this sounds bizarre. This sounds completely unique and outside the box, but I did warn you or give you the caveat or introduce the idea that this is going to be completely different. And I'll challenge your audience. It's the very ways of thinking, feeling, and acting that stand so far outside of what we're used to doing that hold the potential for bringing us results that are so far beyond what we're used to enjoying. So get excited about the possibility that because this may seem so foreign, that's the very reason why you want to continue to explore it.
Yeah.
Because it is so different.
Yeah, but look, Paul, that may work in the dating world with some little bimbo, but look, I'm a professional. I sell B2B. I sell at the C-suite level. And you know what? Scripts, they're just too restrictive. I go with the flow. You know, it feels too cold. I'm not falling for this whole script thing.
It may feel cold at first. I get it. But after a while of doing it, it becomes second nature. You can't on some level not have a script, because even if you think you're being genuine, your genuineness is based on all your other experiences of being genuine. So in a sense, that's a script too. Does that make sense?
Yeah. People don't realize how much we are. I don't know if brainwashed is the right word, programmed.
I think we're 99% of the time people are walking around on autopilot. I can tell you this as a hypnotist. 10% of our decision-making, this is a metaphor. I can't actually measure units of decision-making, but 10-15% of our decision-making process is made like the iceberg, the part that shows above the water, but 80% of it is made on the subconscious level beneath our conscious awareness. We don't make decisions rationally, for the most part. There's a great book with science behind it. I don't have science behind this. I just have the observational results of all my clients and my own selling process. There's a book called Predictably Irrational by a guy. Have you read the book?
Yep.
It's a fantastic book.
Yeah. And Daniel Ayrely,
Ayrely. I highly recommend that book. And he talks about how people make decisions for irrational reasons. And there's another one called Priming by, he's a East Indian PhD. And he talks about experiments they do at different universities with something called priming. But there is science behind it. I don't claim to be a scientist. I don't claim that what I'm doing is scientific. It's only a map. It's only a model. It's subject to challenge. It's subject to change. It's incomplete and it has some error in it. And I will tell you that thousands of my clients have gotten these results. I've gotten them. And the best results, the best proof are your own results. That's why I offer a complete training course that's completely free. The reason I make it free is this is so crazy and so bizarre. There's no reason for a person to stop and trust this is something you want to put money into until you see your own results.
Mm-hmm.
Watch, get the free stuff. Don't pay me a penny. Use it, incorporate it. When you see results, then come back to me.
Right. Cool. Yeah. People, you know, it's funny. The devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. Right. It's like, I tell people, look at golf. You know you've got an issue, right? You're slicing you can't hit your driver off the tee box. You slice. You could pay hundreds of dollars, go take all these lessons. You cure your slice on the driving range, but when you know you're betting 37 cents with your buddies, pressure mounts, and you go back to what you know and you slice it. Rather than just own the new better way. You know, why are we so hung up on the past?
Because I don't care about why. I care about how. I care about the structure of how people do it. So when I used to do live seminars with my dating coaching, guys would come to me and say, I'm just a failure with pretty women. And I would give them three words to put in front of that limiting belief. And I'm going to share, can I give your audience a bonus today? Because I'm really enjoying this conversation with you.
Sure.
I usually only share this with my VIP clients. This will change, but I'm going to share it. And it's three words that you can put in front of any limiting negative belief, and it will change it immediately. And those three words are up until now. So when I had clients come to me and say, I just can't make cold calls, I'll say, how about up until now, it was the case that you didn't claim your skill to make your cold calls. Up until now. See, the mind works on repetition, familiarity, and momentum. So the reason we keep the structure of, not the reason, the structure of how we keep repeating mistakes is that we keep gazing at them. We keep looking at them. We keep playing them over and over and over in our mind, not because we're self-sabotagers or we're losers, but simply because it's a crappy learning strategy. Most people listening to this don't have a confidence issue. They have a crap learning strategy. They program their mistakes back in, not because they're trying to hurt themselves, it's just because no one has ever been taught how to learn from their mistakes. This is another thing that differentiates me. There are tons of great sales courses out here. I'm not coming here today to put anyone's sales courses down. There's a lot of good ones. But one thing they're lacking is a methodology for teaching students how to learn from their mistakes as they go up the learning curve. Any system of selling that you take on is going to have challenges and you're going to make mistakes. Now, if you don't have a way of learning from those mistakes, you're going to be stuck. You've heard, Wes, I'm sure you've heard that piece of advice, just learn from every experience. Have you ever heard that?
Sure.
Does anyone ever give you an exact method to do that?
No.
No. So this infuriates me. When I hear advice like that, it infuriates me. My metaphor is you're in a car, you break down in the desert, your cell phone is battery is almost dead. You call the nearest mechanic and you say, my car is not working. What do I do? And the mechanic says, well, just remove the fragistat, recalibrate the woozit, and multiply your carburetor injection system and you'll be fine. Click. You know, you can't do it. So one of the things I teach in my system and in my courses and in all my trainings are private coachings is how can we efficiently take you up that learning curve? Because otherwise the process of self-improvement, if you've ever felt you, those of you who are listening and are watching today, if you've ever felt that the process of progress, the process of self-improvement has felt like a struggle, like one part of you wants to go forward and the other is holding you back, this is how that takes place. Not why. Because I don't care about why. I just want to look at the structure of how things work. This is how it takes place. And the solution to that is one of the unique things I teach. And I had to learn it because I had some of the most effed up, stuck people in the world. Guys who are 30, 40, 50 years old who never had a date in their life. And they had so much crap in their head, so much dwelling on their mistakes. I had to find a way to break that. Oh, my kitten got into the room and she's playing with a vitamin pill.
Look, you never close the door, so I think deep down you wanted them back in this interview.
I didn't close all the way. She pushed it open.
Yeah, so it's yeah, I mean, how we learn, you know, I equate everything to jujitsu.
And you see, you know, that I see your Gracie jujitsu symbol.
Yeah. And, you know, they say, oh, you know, you never fail. You know, you either win or you learn. And it took me probably 18 months to really internalize that. Cause it's like, man, that sure felt like a failure.
You know? Well, they should have given you a method to learn rapidly and quickly.
Oh yeah. And they do, but it's a hard sport. And, you know, when you don't pick it up till you're almost 47,
you're a young man.
Yeah, but it's still, you know, I'm fighting 20-year-olds and they pick things up quicker. They heal quicker.
Cheat. You
know? They're a lot more flexible.
Cheat. A little jab to the throat when no one's looking will always help.
Oh, yeah. I think it was yesterday. No, it was Saturday. And I was rolling with a young guy, kind of new guy, and I beat him. You know, I'm bigger, I'm more experienced. And then, but then we took a couple minutes and I was showing him one particular thing he was struggling with. And I told him the story. I remember the exact spot in the gym, like where I was on the floor when I learned that lesson, because I had failed, right? I was trying to submit a guy from a certain position. It didn't work. And my elbow was in the wrong place. It never would have worked. And the guy said, oh, go from here to here. And it's super easy, right? So it took me a while to realize, okay, my inability to submit my training partner, you know, 3 years ago, taught me how to do it properly from then on. And not only that, how to teach it, you know, more efficiently and effectively 3 years later and 5 years later, you know, 100 years later, if I live that long, I'll be teaching that same lesson and I'll know the exact spot where I was when I learned it.
Precisely. So
you know, there's no failure, but it's tough to internalize.
But you actually told me something. You said you remember the exact spot where you learned it, which tells me you have a highly visual memory. And you once someone shows you something, you have a way of visualizing it from your perspective and kinesthetically programming it into your muscle memory. So just from modeling you, one of the skill sets from NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, is to model excellence. So just watching where your eyes went and listening to your language, I know how you learned it. So you learned it, the master demonstrated it. As you watched him, you could visualize yourself doing it and you could feel little micro movements of your muscles. And then you began to practice it as a behavior. And that's how you learned it.
Well, yeah. And I learned by doing, right? Truly trial and error, because it was taught properly. But until you do it, I thought I was doing it properly. But you have to see it. Then you have to go do it, at least me. And then we always make the joke, you know, you've been watching YouTube. You know, you're probably a black belt from all the YouTube you've watched. You know, same thing, right, with your guys with dating. They can be super confident in the training room. Like, okay, fellas, we're in the bar. Hey,
absolutely,
you said you
true.
Like redheads. There she is.
Absolutely true.
Like, dude,
absolutely true.
Go, right? Go fail. Right? Go stumble, mutter, let her reject you. Come back. Everybody's going to watch. We're going to give you a drink. You're still alive. You can do it again.
Yeah, absolutely true.
Right. So I had to be taught, realize I didn't completely learn it. Then it sunk in.
Absolutely true. And what I'm saying is that's totally true. I love the metaphor of jiu-jitsu. I like the metaphor of martial arts too. Even though I can't fight, I have to fall back on my buddies. I have two buddies who are always with me to help me fight. So,
because you're a lover, not a fighter.
No, I have Mr. Smith and Mr. Wesson.
I understand.
I don't carry him. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I'm just saying.
I may or may not carry him. But, you know, this call may be recorded, so I don't want to delete that either.
Yeah, okay.
So I looked up priming. Is it programming the mind for habit, change, and success? Clifton Mitchell?
No. Priming. Okay. So here's priming. Priming is the psychological principle that we make our decisions on the subconscious level. I'm going to mangle the description of the experiments, but here's the experiments that several universities did. They took students, and one group of students, they showed imagery of smiling, happy people, of people helping each other, and they showed words. The words were like help, useful, altruism, blah, blah, blah. The other students, they show them words like selfish, self-absorbed, blah, 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 blah. And so when the students went out in the hallway, they had a confederate. This was a person who was in on the thing, dropped their books. And the students who had seen the words for being helpful and selfless and altruism were 80% more likely to help that person pick the books up than the people who saw the words for selfishness. So somehow that primed their behavioral response. They made the association on the subconscious level. These experiments were repeated over and over and over again. So if you go to Wikipedia and you type in priming, that's more likely to give you the results.
Gotcha. Yeah, I thought you would say there was a book titled that, or was
no,
that just a subject?
No. Oh,
okay, I got you. Very cool. So you've got, I'm linking to your book, and then is it at that site where they can get the course?
I have my Rapid Sales Accelerator training. It is the first four chapters of my book on mindset. I have an audio training that's about 20, 25 minutes long. And I made it that short length because that's the length of the average commute. I did that before the pandemic, but it's the average attention span. And then I have a special white paper on a PDF report on how to use pattern interrupts, how to destroy objections through the principle of pattern interrupts. Put it all together. It's for free at paulrossbook.com. That's paulrossbook.com. The reason I pack in so much value and I don't charge a penny is, as I said, these methods are so far off the wall. Your best guarantee of results are your own results. So go out, try this stuff. Forget about sending me a penny. Go see how it radically changes your own sales process and then come back to me.
All right. I'll take you up on that.
Fair enough.
Can do. So yeah, I'm linking to your LinkedIn, your homepage, your book, this training. Did we miss anything?
Nope. I don't
think
so.
Everything?
I think we covered everything. We were going to get into the UFO conspiracy and everything, you know, being an Air Force, former Air Force officer, but
I don't know if they're ready. I say we put a little bonus. Anybody that completes the program, they send us the magic code and they'll be invited to the private group where we have the top secret session that reveals everything they
yes.
ever wanted to know.
Yeah, I think that makes sense to me.
All right. That's what we'll do. Very nice. Well, if you come wine tasting in Temecula, let me know.
You know what? I may just take you up on that.
We are members. You can drink for free. I mean, I'm just saying.
I'm more a caffeine person, but hey, little wine never hurt you.
That's right. Again. That's right. Well, all right, Mr. Paul Ross, all the way from San Diego, man. It's been fantastic. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, it was a big commute, but I don't mind. It was a fantastic time.
I'm worth it, baby. I'm worth
it. You are worth it.
All right. Have a great day. There's gold in them thar hills. I hope you took some notes. I hope you are hitting rewind on this. Powerful terms, phrases. I love when he talks about what his mom said. Most people are stupid. Do the opposite of what most people do. It's time to joyously make powerful opportunity outreach calls. Hey, it's better than saying, I gotta go in the salt mine, gotta make the donuts. I mean, come on. Okay. What state of mind do you want your prospect to be in so they receive your message? We together explore, invite, share. Up until now, I've been bad at cold calls. Up until now, I haven't been able to hit quota. These little changes, right? Like I told them, small hinges swing big doors. It's rare that you need a total makeover in your business and your sales, your processes. You need to find the little things, but sometimes it is a diamond in the rough. A lot of times it's a diamond in the rough for you. It's hard for you to see it. We can't read the label inside the bottle. I'm hiring coaches. I'm joining programs right now. Okay. When I encourage you to reach out to me for one-on-one or private training with you and your company, when I encourage you to join the Implementors group, I eat my own dog food, right? I'm constantly leveling up. Things are changing. They're evolving. I've done this podcast now. It'll be 8 years in June 2021. I've grown. I've changed. What I do in my business has radically changed where the focus is. So I'm looking to get better all the time. Tiger Woods still has a coach. LeBron James still has a coach, right? These guys are still making a difference, making an impact because they evolve with the game, okay? And they do that through outside mentors and coaches, groups, programs. So, you know, go listen to this over and over. Try it, right? And again, if you get stuck, if you want to accelerate the growth, hit me up, join one of the groups. And you will grow. All right. I guarantee it. I'm going to wrap this up. I'm going to go to bed, fly into Tampa. So as you're listening to this, I will be in Tampa. And on the 17th, I'll be swimming 5.5 kilometers. So donate, please, to the Navy SEAL Foundation under my name, helpwestswim.org. That takes you to the donation page. Okay. Thanks for listening. I'll go sell something.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Coriant. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.